Sono Ferenc Mate da Montalcino in Toscana e io viaggio sempre con Rick Steves. That means in English, I'm Ferenc Mate from Montalcino, Tuscany, and I travel with Rick Steves. Sono Ferenc Mate e io viaggio sempre con Rick Steves. Thank you.
Tim Park suggests that Italy may not be for beginners. It can be confusing, it's inefficient to deal with its bureaucracy, and its transportation network is filled with last-minute surprises. But of the expats I know, like Tim, who live there, none of them seem to have any intention of leaving. They tell me that just because the everyday realities of living there may fall short of their ideals, Italy is still the place they want to call home. Let's open up the phones right now for your calls as together we explore modern life in Italy with Tim Parks, the author of Italian Ways, on and off the rails from Milan to Palermo. And Jean is on the line in Cincinnati, Ohio. Jean, thanks for your call.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, do you have a comment for Tim?
Well, yeah, I plan on taking my 17-year-old son to Italy next May as a graduation gift. And right now, all of our travel is going to be via rail for about 2 weeks. And my son has studied Latin for about 5 or 6 years, so he's learned a lot about ancient Roman architecture and culture. So I'm asking that, you know, outside of the Forum in Rome and or Pompeii, where else, you know, near train stations, might we get a good look at ancient Roman culture that might be a little bit off the beaten path?
I don't know what you call the beaten path, but almost everywhere in Italy, if the rail station's in the centre of town, there's going to be some Roman stuff around. But, for example, if you go to Verona, which is a very wonderful city to visit, you will find within a very short bus ride from the station into the centre, right in the centre of town, there is the largest Roman arena, which is still in use for concerts, operas and so on. There is also a Roman theater up on the hill, which is very beautiful.
You know, Tim and Gina, it's funny, when Gina asked that question and Tim was coming up with his answer, I was thinking, where's classical Roman sites near a train station? And I thought, Verona. And then Tim said, Verona. And then I thought, well, you can't really walk there that easily. But then I remember once for my Facebook blog, I just turned my little video camera on in the train station to see what it would be like to step out, hop on a bus, and go downtown. And it was like, I didn't miss a step. You step out of the train station, right in front of you, there's a platform, and there are buses literally every 2 minutes zipping you from the train station right to, what's it called, Tim, Piazza Bra?
Piazza Bra.
Piazza Bra. And step off the bus in Piazza Bra, and you're looking at this arguably the best preserved Roman theater in all of the ancient world. So that's easy, Verona, yeah.
Yeah, it's a vast amphitheater worth visiting. But also, Verona has a river which goes in a meander through the city with steep hills on the northern side. And there is a Roman theater on the side of the hill which is still used for concerts and also theater productions.
Love that.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
The city's full of Roman ruins, as indeed is almost any Italian city.
How about Aosta? Aosta's called the Rome of the North or something like that, isn't it? It's a little town. Nobody goes there. You can get there by train, north of Milano, Aosta. And its nickname is something like the Little Rome. And there's plenty of Roman sites up there that are truly off the beaten path. Jean, thanks for your call.
Thank you very much.
And John's on the line in Jersey City, New Jersey. John, thanks for your call.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Comment on Italian train experiences for you.
We were traveling to Rome from southern Italy. And when we got into Napoli, we were delayed at the train station. And we were in a car with a few other Italians who spoke no English. And they all just kind of shrugged their shoulders and threw their hands up, indicating, this is Italy, this is the train. You just kind of roll with it. And then after about 20, 30 minutes, the train started rolling backwards. So we were rerouted to a different track, and our five-hour trip took more than 10 hours by the time all was said and done. And as it turned out, we didn't find out until we were in Rome that it was the largest rainstorm that they had had in over a generation. It was actually the same rainstorm that caused the mudslides in the Cinque Terre.
Oh, those are the flash floods that basically buried two of the towns, yeah.
Yes, yes. In Rome, it was not as devastating, but back in Napoli, moving, you know, one stop at a time and then waiting 20 minutes, we had a reservation at a B&B in downtown Rome, and it was our last night in town, And the owner of the B&B was just fabulous. We called him when we could. You know, our reservation should have expired. And he said, oh, you're going to be here. Come, I'll meet you. And so halfway from the Termini to the location, he met us. And it was kind of an interesting exchange. He's looking at us pulling luggage, and we're not sure about this man who's looking at us. And then he finally indicated that he was our host for that night. And he was just wonderful. We got into town just after midnight, and he convinced the local pizzeria downstairs to reopen so he could make us a pizza so that we could have something to eat. Mm. Still the best pizza I've ever had.
Well, that sounds like taking surprises in stride in Italy. Remember, it's about the size of California with 70 million people or something like that, and some violent weather and some congestion on the rails and lots of people coming together at the same time. So best just take it easy and enjoy the friendliness of people like you did.
That was very much our experience, is people taking things in stride. The people were just wonderful. Even that was kind of a worst-case scenario, I think, on the train. You know, we met so many people, and of course, at the time, we didn't speak any Italian at all. Coming up from Sicily, we got to Mineo, which is a big travel hub going to the mainland, and something I had never seen before or since is there was no bridge to get the trains across the strait between Mineo and the tip of Calabria. And so they load the trains into the hold of the ferry boat. So the body of the ship opens up, and they take the train a third at a time, and then they have to disconnect the second third and the third third, and they ride side by side in the boat, and then have to reconnect on the other side. And so while we were going through that process, we met this man, Vincenzo, who spoke very little English, and we had our handy Rick Steves Italian phrase book. So we're doing a lot of pantomiming. It was great, though. We communicated. It was a lovely conversation. And he saw that we were a little nervous about getting off at our stop at La Mesa Terme. He was able to help us understand which stop to get off at. And in the meantime, another individual gets on in the cabin with us, and we're all just kind of talking like we had known each other forever, in broken Italian/English and pantomiming. We asked him, you know, what the most beautiful part of his home was, and he just responded this big, you know, bellissimo, oh, pizza, pasta, Italy, it's all beautiful. Oh. And that was, you know, a highlight of the trip.
That's great. I love that. I just love that idea of getting the train, packing it onto the boat, and then having people locally let you know everything's okay. Pizza, pasta, Italy, it's all beautiful.
It really is La Dolce Vita. Everything is a little more laid back.
Yeah, all right.
Very verbose.
John, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Tim, have you been on that train that John was talking about where the train goes onto the boat from Messina?
Yeah, the train crosses from near Reggio Calabria to Messina on the Sicilian coast, and they put the train on the boat. It's completely crazy. It makes absolutely no sense because obviously it takes forever to get that train onto the boat. And if they simply got the people off the train and onto the boat on the other side, they could have a train waiting. So the reason why they do this is a kind of commercial inertia that keeps a large number of people employed on the ferries. And there's really no other reason for doing so. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
I must say, you know, it's kind of nice to hear from somebody who's so happy and perceives the Italian culture as laid back and so on. My own feeling is, after 30 years in the country, that Italians have a way of presenting themselves to foreigners, playing a role that they know that foreigners are happy with. But certainly Italian life, as lived in the north, is absolutely not laid back at all, nor is much of it close to the Dolce Vita, particularly in this period. But that doesn't mean it's not charming and not fascinating, which I think it definitely is.
Well, there is that divide. I mean, you know, they say for every church in Rome, there's a bank in Milano. And I just find Milan is a high-powered place. People are power lunches and walking around quickly. And it's not your Dolce Vita, that's for sure.
No. The south is much slower. I mean, people actually deliberately walk slowly in the south. Partly, I mean, if you're used to walking in 35-degree heat, what's that in American terms?
Darn
pretty
hot,
much 100.
Yeah.
You learn to walk in the shade and keep it a little slower.
When the South, they say, piano, it'll be okay, just little by little. I like the way you write in your book about the inefficiencies of the system actually serving a purpose. And like you mentioned there, it's just a way to keep a lot of rail workers employed, I guess.
Il treno regionale veloce delle ore 11:13 per Torino Porta Nuova è in partenza dal binario 7. Ferma a Novara, Vercelli, Torino Porta Susa. La prima classe è in testa al treno.
We're exploring how Italy works right now on Travel with Rick Steves from the perspective of its rail lines and the 33 years that author Tim Parks has been making Italy his home. He describes his experiences and the people he's observed while riding the trains of Italy in his book, Italian Ways, on and off the rails from Milan to Palermo. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Carol's on the line in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Carol. Thanks for your call.
Hi. I also had the experience of taking the night train. I actually went to Sicily because I wanted to take the train before they put the bridge in.
Oh, yeah.
And so I took a night train, and I got on at Palermo, and then a group came on at Messina who were people who commuted, and they were really sweet. They could see that I was a foreigner. I did have a tiny bit of Italian from having worked on Pimsleur before I went, but not too much. And so they knew that I wanted to go up, so when the train started doing the backing back and forth, this was maybe 11:30 or something, they all went up on deck, and then they took me up with them, and then the women wanted to go back down and go to bed because they were actually on their way to work the next morning. They do this every week, but I never thought to ask them what kind of jobs they had that would take them to Rome every week. They go on Sunday night, and then they come back during the day on Friday and are with their families on the weekend. I did say to the man, you know, basically, it must be hard to have to go to Rome every week. And he was kind of like, well, that's where the jobs are. They were so friendly. And I'm just, now I have all these questions about what their lives might have been like, but I just didn't think to ask.
Well, you know, Carol, Tim writes about this in his book, this notion of campanilismo, where people make long commutes so they can stay near their moms and in their hometown and hear the bells in the bell tower of the church they grew up in. Tim, talk a little bit about why that means long commutes.
Well, all over Italy, people are commuting impossible distances for the week. At the university where I work in, many of my colleagues live in Rome and commute up from Rome for the week, or even further afield. One of them lives in Palermo, in fact. Obviously, they use the plane. But the trains have traditionally been used to make possible a constant movement of workers, both from south to north and then around the north, very long commutes. People believe that their hometown is the center of the world, and they're determined to live there. If you had real train prices that actually reflected the cost of the trains, none of this would be allowed to happen.
It's possible because of that, yeah.
The government's basically subsidizing a sort of anthropological situation, as it were. It's fascinating. Much of it, you feel, could never happen in a country that was more ruthlessly commercial, where the price of that train would simply make there would simply be no sense, and you would find a flat in the area you were living in. And what it does mean is a lot of people's lives get very attached to their family and remain there, and it's a way, as it were, of not, you know, spreading your wings. So there's a downside number, and obviously a very plus side to it. In the book, for example, I have a chapter about what it's like in the stations in the far south, places like Taranto or Lecce, in those early summer months when the young people who are studying in Milan or in Bologna and the workers who are working up north in Turin or maybe as far as Udine come down for the summer holiday for a month. And the scenes in the station are just extraordinarily emotional, with the tension as the train comes in and all the families waiting to see people who they haven't seen perhaps for a couple of months.
And the challenge for travelers, I mean, Italy is my favorite country in Europe, and it's one of the most popular destinations, but the challenge for travelers is to go with that rather than fight that, and that's really critical to enjoying your time in Italy, I would say.
Well, enjoying your time on this planet, Rick.
Broader than Italy, okay.
Don't fight it too hard, but certainly, yeah, when you're traveling anywhere, it's as wise not to try and apply the rules that apply, you know, in New York or in Boston, and actually wait a bit and see what's going on. I mean, your man there talked about a five-hour delay because of a major meteorological event, and I suppose that can happen anywhere. But in the book, I talk about a series of delays that went on for more than a month or more, where the train would just stop in empty fields and you'd hear the mooing of cows. Mm-hmm. Finally, I discovered that there was a farmer's protest and they were blocking the line with cows. And they would basically block the line for half an hour and then release the train. Mm. And that was because this had been agreed with the police. So the police, rather than clearing them, made an agreement with them that they could block each train for half an hour. Mm. Okay. And you would see them sitting in the fields together, drinking wine together while the train was stopped. I mean, it was quite extraordinary. And it's pointless fighting it. You just have to think, okay, we'll just have to wait until this farmer's protest is...
all in this together.
I think it was about 2 months and a... 2 months every day.
Carol, thanks for your call. It's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, happy travels. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Tim Parks, and Tim has spent a lifetime on the trains in Italy, I think 3 decades, commuting all over, enjoying Italy by the rails. He's written a fascinating book, an insightful book called Italian Ways, On and Off the Rails from Milan to Palermo. Tim, you dedicate your book to all those who love to read on trains. I just thought that was kind of curious. Why did you dedicate the book to those who like to read on trains?
Well, I read a lot. You know, I work in a university. I teach translation and literature. I write. And I read an enormous amount. And I'm having commuted regularly, a long commute of a couple of hours on trains, I discover, as I think back on it, that most of the important books I've read on trains. And I think trains are wonderfully conducive to reading, that sense of a moment that's suspended from your normal busy life, a bit less so now, obviously, with being able to get on the net on trains and work. Yeah. But I think there's something wonderfully, as it were, suspended, and there's a freedom to read and feel that there's no TV to watch and so on and so forth.
And if the cows are blocking the train for half an hour, just read on.
You can read a little more. In fact, my own feeling about high-speed trains, for example, is that really the idea of high-speed trains was that the time people spend on trains is wasted. This is a terrible mistake. The time people that spend on trains, if the train is a nice train and you have a seat on it, is not wasted at all. It's full with reading, and of course now you can fill it with work as well if you want. Yeah. So I'm quite happy sometimes to get a slower train and have a bit more time to read. And there have been times when even a delay was welcome, yeah.
There's some real wisdom there, and there's some real wisdom in your book, Italian Ways. Tim Parks, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rick. E mambo, mambo italiano. E mambo, mambo italiano. Go, go, go. You mixed up Siciliano. All you calabresi do the mambo like a crazy weather.
You could take the train from Pompeii to Salerno. That's the easy way. But for a trip you'll never forget, I'd recommend taking the scenic bus ride along the winding and dramatic Amalfi Coast Road. Guides from the region take your calls at 877-333-RICK as we explore your options for enjoying Italy's magnificent Amalfi Coast. That's next on Travel with Rick Steves.